ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ वि डिड् स्टार्ट् दिस् बृहदारण्यकोपनिषत् लाङ्ग् अगो बट् सम्हौ इट् डिड् नाट् मूव् आन् And now we are restarting, so let me start from the beginning itself. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, if you break this word itself, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we get three words. So Brihad means big. Aranyakam, Aranyam, Aranyam means jungle. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad means big Upanishad. Really speaking, it is the very big Upanishad. Big Upanishad, bigger than all other Upanishads. And here we know the meaning of this word Upanishad, because we have done many Upanishads before. Before beginning any Upanishad, we always understood the meaning of the word Upanishad. The very word Upanishad itself means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality. And this the word Upanishad is formed of three components, Upa, Ni, and Sat. Upa, Ni, Sat. Actually, Sat actually becomes Upa, Ni, Sad. Sadlr is the root. The Sat alone, when you later on becomes Shat. That D becomes T. So Upanishad is the actual word. And there Upani, that Shat originally is the root Sad. Upa stands for Guru Upasadanam. Upa stands for Guru Upasadanam. Guru Upasadanam means approaching the teacher in proper manner is Guru Upasadanam. So approaching the teacher for in proper manner, the teacher who knows the sampradaya, who sampradaya with teacher. The teacher who would have been a disciple of another teacher. This is Guru Upasadanam, approaching the teacher. Then Ni stands for Nischaya Jnanam. Nischaya Jnanam means a definite, clear knowledge. So if a person approaches the teacher in proper manner, then he studies, he or she studies with the teacher for length of time, systematically, the scriptures. The person does Shravanam and Mananam with the help of the teacher. Then the student himself or herself does the Nididhyasanam, as a result of which the student will have Nischaya Jnanam, definite knowledge. So Guru Upasadanam is the means of attaining Nischaya Jnanam. Nischaya Jnanam means Dhrida Jnanam, firm knowledge, clear, doubt-free knowledge. That knowledge, clear, doubt-free knowledge means what? Which is free from intellectual limitations, which is not obstructed by intellectual limitations and emotional disturbances. The knowledge which is not obstructed by intellectual limitations and emotional disturbances. There is a firm, clear, doubt-free knowledge. Nischaya Jnana. Then sadhilru, sad means avasadayati, means destroys. In fact, the sadhu, that root, stands for the benefit of knowledge. What does Nischaya Jnanam do? The Nischaya Jnanam does two things. Ishta praptihi anishta pariharanam. Ishta praptihi anishta pariharanam. Dukkha nivrittihi, removal of sorrow, is anishta pariharanam. Ishta praptihi, sukha praptihi. Ishta praptihi anishta pariharanam means ishta praptihi, attainment of moksha. Ishta praptihi. Then, dukkha nivrittihi is anishta pariharanam, removal of the undesirable. It happens simultaneously. So, removal of the undesirable bondage, attainment of the everlasting freedom, which is desirable. Ishta prapti, anishta pariharanam. It is sad. That sad stands for that. So, it destroys ignorance. So, Nischaya Jnanam destroys ignorance and the ignorance caused samsara. Thereby, it helps us discover the freedom. So, the benefit of the knowledge is implied by the expression sad. So, Upanishad, we have understood elaborately the meanings of, see how to see the meaning of the Upanishad in different contexts before. When we saw the other Upanishads. So Brahma Vidya, Nischaya Jnanam, definitely one must pursue Brahma Vidya with the help of the teacher who knows Sampradaya. And once you approach a teacher, you study systematically for length of time, it should result in the attainment of Nischaya Jnanam. And the Nischaya Jnanam definitely is capable of helping you accomplish two things. One is Ishta Prapti Anishta Pariharanam. Attainment of the desirable end, moksha, and the removal of ignorance and ignorance caused to samsara, bondage. This is the literal meaning of the word Brahma Vidya. This is the literal meaning of the word Upanishad, which is Brahma Vidya. It is the primary meaning of the word Brahma Vidya. Mukhyartha. So it has a secondary meaning also. That is, the very text we study itself is known as Brahma Vidya, Upanishad. The text is known as Upanishad because the text serves as a means of knowledge, means of attainment of knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, the text is also known as Upanishad. These are the two meanings. So, primary meaning is Brahma Vidya. Secondary meaning is the very textbook. And Brahma Vidya, being the knowledge of the reality, knowledge of reality rises only in the mind. Because knowledge of anything rises only in the antahkaranam, in the mind, which we saw even in Mundakopanishad. So Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality, rises only in the mind. Therefore, knowledge is internal, in the mind only. That vritti jnanam alone is said to be Brahma Vidya, which is Paravidya. And the textbook, which serves as a means of knowledge of the Brahma Vidya, is outside. And the textbook is known as Upanishad because it is a means. The primary meaning is Brahma Vidya. Secondary meaning is the textbook. This is the meaning of the word Upanishad. And in this context also, I wanted to understand a set of three different words. We say Karanam and Karyam. Karanam means cause. Karyam means effect, which you know. Similarly, Hetuhu also means cause, reason, and Phalam means effect. The reason and the effect. Cause and the effect are also meant by other expressions, Hetuhu and Phalam. Nimittam, that which is instrumental cause, is said to be Nimittam. And Naimitticam is said to be the effect. So Karanam is cause, Karyam is effect. Hetuhu is cause, Phalam is effect. Nimittam is cause, Naimitticam means effect. So for cause and effect, we use these three different words. Therefore, when ignorance is destroyed, ignorance caused samsara is destroyed. Therefore, if ignorance is the karanam and samsara is the karyam, when ignorance is destroyed, samsara becomes destroyed. So ignorance is the hetu, samsara is the phalam. When ignorance is destroyed, samsara is destroyed. So ignorance is the nimittam and samsara is naimitticam. When ignorance is resolved, ignorance caused samsara also becomes resolved. Therefore, we say karanasya nashe karyasya nashaha. And the cause is removed, effect also becomes removed for good. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is the only means of resolving the ignorance which causes samsara. So Brahma Vidya, prapti, attainment of knowledge of reality, is for the attainment of freedom from bondage. Which is said to be the removal, elimination of bondage. So with this understanding, let us go ahead. So this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is from Yajurveda. We have Yajurveda. The Yajurveda has two parts. One is Krishna Yajurveda and Shukla Yajurveda. Taittiriya Upanishad belongs to Krishna Yajurveda, which is from Taittiriya Shaka belonging to Krishna Yajurveda. So similarly, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. And the Shukla Yajurveda consists of two big branches. Shukla Yajurveda by itself is a big part. And the Shukla Yajurveda itself consists of two parts. Two shakaha, shakadvayam. Yes, two shakas, two branches. One branch is known as Kanva Shaka, Kan, that dental nakara. Kanva Shaka. Kanva Shaka is branch one. And the second branch is known as Madhyandina Shaka. Madhyandina Shaka. Kanva Shaka and Madhyandina Shaka are two branches which form the entire Shukla Yajurveda. If you see, both shakas have definitely different mantras. But the beauty of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is, I don't know, somehow this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have two Brihadaranyaka Upanishads because the same Upanishad is found in both the shakas. This Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in Kanva Shaka, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is also found in Madhyandina Shaka. So the same Upanishad is given twice in both two different shakas. Therefore, it is very clear, definitely Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belongs to Shukla Yajurveda because it is found in both the branches of Shukla Yajurveda, Kanva Shaka and Madhyandina Shaka. But acharyas mention that the differences between the two Upanishads, the Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad found in Kanva Shaka and Madhyandina Shaka, between these Upanishad, two same mantras are there with very slight changes. Not a big difference, with very slight changes, the same text is found in both the shakas. But mostly the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad from Kanva Shaka alone is taken for this study by the Vedanta students. the Upanishad from Madhyandina Shaka is not taken for study much. Because the same Upanishad, same mantras, the very slight changes. Somehow the tradition has been following the mostly Upanishad from Kandva Shaka. Again, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself is a very huge Upanishad. So Pujya Swamiji used to say, if you want to find a quotation to talk about anything, either Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or any Upasana, Upasana Palam, Loka, Devata, anything, you can find mantras in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And suppose somebody happens to quote something from somewhere. Suppose if they do not know where it is from, they can blindly say it is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Which means, not that we should say blindly like that. What he used to say is, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad discusses all the topics and then very elaborately on upasanas, upasana phalams. The most of the part of Upanishad discusses the topic of upasana. But this time, I decided we'll skip the upasana portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We will only focus on the Vedanta part of the Upanishad. Because Pujya Swamiji himself did not take into account those upasana portions. Because we will not benefit much by doing the upasana portions of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. I was very ambitious. I did start, but because of travel, we stopped. I thought, let us do only the Upanishadic portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, not the Upasana portion of the Upanishad. But anyway, it is better to understand what exactly is there in the entire Upanishad. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself consists of three parts. Three parts are actually three divisions. And each part or division is known as Kandaha. And the first Kandaha is known as Madhu Kandaha. Madhu Kandaha. Second one is known as Muni Kandaha. Third one, the third part or the third division is known as Khila Kandaha. Khila. You know that Kha. So Muni Kandaha, the Madhu Kandaha, Muni Kandaha, Khila Kandaha. Madhu Kandaha, Muni Kandaha, Khila Kandaha. So three khandas are three divisions or three parts which form the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The Upanishadic teaching, that is the main subject matter of the Upanishad, Brahman, is discussed there. So the Madhukandaha presents this main teaching, that is teaching of the Brahman. So Brahma Vidya is mainly discussed in the Madhukandaha. Therefore, the main subject matter of the Upanishad, Brahma Vidya, being discussed in the Madhukandaha. Madhukandaha is known as Upadesha Kandaha. Why the subtitle? Madhukandaha is known as Upadesha Kandaha because the main subject matter of the Upanishad, Brahma Vidya, is discussed in Madhukandaha. And here, why this name Madhukandaha then? It is known as Upadesha Kandaha. The first Kanda is also known as Upadesha Kandaha. But the first Kanda is known as Madhukandaha because this absolute reality of the universe, Brahman, is presented as the Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam, Adharaha, Jagadadharaha, Jagadadhishtanam. So, the absolute reality Brahman is revealed as the Jagadadharam or Jagadadharam Adhishtanam in a given place in that Madhukanda. So, the first Kanda known as Madhukanda, the absolute reality Brahman is revealed as the Jagad Adhishtanam Adharam in one given place. So, this Brahman is the Adharam, Adhishtanam, substratum, the very support of the entire universe. And which sort of universe? The universe which is the universe of interdependence. The universe which is empirically real. The empirically real, relatively real, objectively real universe is of interdependence. And the universe is, everything in this universe is interdependent, interconnected. And Brahman is the Adhishtanam of this universe of interdependent, interrelated objects. What is interdependence? Before even I go to other lesson, let me tell you. See, just as our heart, our lungs, our kidneys, okay, all our internal organs are interconnected, interlinked. They're all interdependent. If somewhere something goes wrong with any one of the organs, then all other organs become affected. If the heart has to be in good condition, kidney also must be in good condition. If kidney must be in good condition, heart also must be in good condition. Which means all the organs are interconnected. They all function together so that the system is maintained in good health. The whole system is maintained in good condition. Similarly, in this entire universe also, sun, moon, stars, elements and elementals, everything here in this universe is interconnected, interdependent. So disturbance in any one thing will contribute for the disturbance of the rest of the phenomena, then there will be disturbance. So all these, the whole universe also is of the objects which are interdependent and which are interconnected. And for this interdependent, the world of interdependent objects and things, Brahman is the only Adharam, Adhishtanam, support, substratum, and Brahman is the absolute reality. So absolute reality, support of the relatively real world of interdependent objects and things. And this is technically known as Upakaraka Upakarya Sambandha. Upakaraka means help. Upakaryam means helped. Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha. Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha means one being dependent on the other for its wellness. The mutual dependence. So everything is dependent on everything else for its wellness. And this is called Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha or Upakaraka Upakarya Sambandha, which is interconnectedness. Interdependence is known as Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha. And this Upakaraka Upakarya Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha alone is meant by this expression Madhu. The word Madhu literally means honey or sweetness. In Sanskritam, Madhu means honey. Madhu also means sweetness. Madhu means sweet, isn't it? In Tamil Nadu, Madhu means another word also. Liquor also is meant by the word Madhu. I don't know in Sri Lankan Tamil. In Indian Tamil, Madhu also means liquor. So that's unfortunate thing. Anyway, so that is why, but here Madhu in Shukla Yajurveda, in this Shaka, especially in this Upanishad, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the word Madhu is a technical expression used in that particular branch, okay, to mean the Upakaraka Upakarya Bhavaha. It means interconnectedness, interrelation, relatedness or interdependence between all the objects which constitute the universe, the creation. Therefore, Brahman, the absolute reality Brahman, is revealed as the Adhara of the world of interdependence. And this word Madhu is only used in one given place in the Upanishad. The word Madhu is used only one in one given place in the Upanishad. to indicate the indicate that interdependence, interconnectedness of the everything in the world. And thereby to reveal Brahman as the support of that universe. Therefore, the whole first Kandaha, the whole Kandaha is known as Madhu Kandaha. But actually, the teaching is there. Therefore, it is also known as Upadesha Kandaha. What about the second Kandaha? Second Kandaha, I said, is known as Muni Kandaha. The Muni Kandaha is known as Yajnavalkya Kandaha or Rishi Kandaha. The Muni Kandaha is also known as Yajnavalkya Kandaha. Because Yajnavalkya is the Acharya. Not only is Acharya in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya is the Rishi who contributed tremendously for the most of the teachings of the available in the Shukla Yajurveda. So this Muni Kandaha, otherwise known as Yajnavalkya Kandaha, actually discusses the topic of, discusses subject matter of the logical reasoning. Logical reasoning required for the teaching. A logical reasoning to the main teaching. And the logical reasoning is known as Upapattihi. So Upapattihi, the logical support to the teaching is given in this second Kandaha, Yajnavalkya Kandaha, because it is very important to show how the teaching does not contradict our reasoning. So the teaching cannot be shaken because of any logical loopholes. So the teaching, nowhere the teaching contradicts our reasoning. So the teaching being absolutely free from logical loopholes is shown . Therefore, it is known as, that is the main Upapattihi. The logical support to the teaching is given in the Yajnavalkya, Rishi Kandaha, or Muni Kandaha. the Yajnavalkya was a great teacher. That many disciples approached him. And he was known as Vajasaneya Rishihi. Vajasaneya Rishihi. Vajasaneyaha. So Yajnavalkya Rishihi was also known as Vajasaneyaha. Here, therefore, anything, all his teachings also come under the title of Vajasaneyi. That all the teachings of Yajnavalkya Rishihi, Vajasaneyaha, comes under the title of Vajasaneyi. Therefore, the Shukla Yajurveda itself, the whole of Shukla Yajurveda itself, is known as Vajasaneyi Samhita. So Yajnavalkya Rishi happens to be the Rishi of Rishi who contributed, in the sense, who was the Rishi of the Shukla Yajurveda, main Rishi. The entire Shukla Yajurveda is known as Vajasaneyi Samhita. That's why he is not just the author of only, he is not the only Rishi who is the Rishi of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the entire Shukla Yajurveda. He has the credit of being the Rishi, the receiver of the mantras of Shukla Yajurveda. Therefore, the entire Shukla Yajurveda is known as Vajasaneyi Samhita. And this Rishihi Vajasaneyaha Yajnavalkyaha is the main Acharya. Second branch is known as Rishikandaha or Munikandaha or Yajnavalkya Kandaha. Why did he get this name Yajnavalkya? How did he get this name Vajasaneyaha? He got this name because he got his teachings from Surya Bhagavan, Lord Sun, Surya Devata, Surya Bhagavan. Played the role of the guru for Yajnavalkya. It means he had abundance of grace of Surya Bhagavan. Maybe he was doing Surya Bhagavan's upasanam. We do not know what it is. But he had Surya Bhagavan's anugraha. Therefore, because of the anugraha, he got mantras revealed to him. So it is said that Surya Bhagavan himself became the guru for Yajnavalkya. And here, Surya Bhagavan is known as Vajasanihi. Surya Bhagavan is known as Vajasani. Vajasanihi means what? We have to understand everything. Vajam means annam. Annam, you know the word very well, annam, food. And vajam means annam. Sani means bestows, gives, procures. In fact, the sanoti is the verb. Sanoti. See, sanoti means procures, gives. And sani, please make a note, it is not shani, okay? Today shani vasaraha. Shani is a palatal sha. But I'm talking about a dental sa, Saraswati sa, sa. Okay? Not shani, but sani. Online, can you hear me clearly? Okay. Sani. Okay. Sanoti means procures, bestows, gives. Sani is the giver, the bestower. Surya Bhagavan, Shani, sorry, Surya Bhagavan, okay? Surya Bhagavan is known as Vajasanihi because Vajam Sanoti iti Vajasanihi, the bestower of food. The procurer of food. The procurer, bestower of food. Here you call Vajasanihi. How Suri Bhagavan is the Vajasanihi, that you all know very well. I don't need to explain all that. So Surya Bhagavan is Vajasanihi. Surya Bhagavan happens to be the guru of Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya is known as Vajasaneyaha. And the whole Shukla Yajurveda is known after Vajasaneyaha, therefore Vajasaneyi. So Vajasanihi, Vajasaneyaha, then Vajasaneyi. You have to remember all the connections now. Okay. That is the Vajam Sanoti Ti Vajasanihi. And Vajasanehe Sishyaha Vajasaneyaha. Vajasanehe Sishyaha Vajasaneyaha. So Vajasaneyasya Sambandam Sambandi Bhagaha Vajasaneyi Sambhita. Anyway, this is the important point I wanted to tell you. Now, we'll move on to the next one. What is the third part or the third division of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? The third division, as I mentioned, is known as Khilakandaha. So the Khilakandaha consists of mainly the meditations, upasanas, and the rituals, karmas. So this Khilakandaha consists of the subject matter of upasanam, upasanas, mostly upasanas, and also some rituals, karmas. The word khilaha, khilaha means companion. Khilaha also means compiling, compilation. And And as this section, as this branch known as Kilakandaha presents many upasanas together, combined, compiled, it is known as Kilakandaha. This particular branch presents many upasanas combined together, compiled, therefore it is known as Kilakandaha. So the branch where upasanas are presented, compiled, combined together. So the Kilakanda is not only found in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Such different upasanas are mixed and given in different parts of the Veda. But still, this particular branch of the Upanishad also has upasanas like that. Upasanas are given. That section is known as, the part, that branch is known as Kilakandaha. In fact, the Kilakandaha is a bigger part of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And each Kandaha, so Madhu Kandaha, Muni Kandaha, and Kilakandaha, each Kandaha, each branch consists of two chapters. A chapter known as Adhyayaha. Already you're exposed to this. You know this word Adhyayaha. In Bhagavad Gita, everywhere you heard this word Adhyayaha, Adhyayaha. Therefore, so each branch consists of two Adhyayas, chapters. So totally, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad consists of three sections, three branches or three khandas having six chapters. So this Upanishad, The big part of the Upanishad, known as Kilakandaha, consists mostly of Upanishads, the Upasanas. But still, very profound, in-depth, Vedantic teachings are also available a lot in this Upanishad. Suppose different important main teachings presented in different Upanishads. In all other Upanishads, Shankara Bhagavatpada has written commentary upon main 11 Upanishads, 10 Upanishads. So, the important teachings of all other Upanishads are found in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, consisting of the contents of other Upanishads, it has its own special contents also. That is why the Brihat, the big, huge Upanishad, and studied and really specially studied in the jungle, Aranyakam, அரண்யம், அரண்யே பட்யதே. So the Upanishad studied in the Aranyam is known as Aranyakam. Immediately don't complain. Oh my God, we cannot go to any Aranyam. You need not go to the Aranyam. Idea is, sitting at home, if you study also, your home will become Aranyam. Okay? You are very focused. The home will become Aranyam. You need not go to Aranyam. In those days, the people who were given to the Vanaprastha Ashrama, when they go away, just to be in meditative, to lead a meditative life, they were really mature people, who were able to handle that situation. So without having mental preparedness, simply if you leave the house and go to jungle to go anywhere else, and your own shadow will be following you. That will not be of any use. That is not recommended by the Shastram also. So generally, sannyasis used to study Upanishads. They used to do Shravanam or Mananam or Nidhyasanam of the contents of the Upanishads. Therefore, it is known as somehow Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. All Mahatmas consider this Upanishad as a magnum opus. Because the complete Vedantic vision is 100% totally dealt with, is complete and a complete understanding, with the complete understanding. So it's a text is also a huge text. Contents are also a lot of contents. So this is how Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is. And this is a brief introduction I wanted to give for Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And we will continue this text the next class. Okay, it's a very brief introduction I have given. The rest I'll do from the next class. I'll tell you where I'll be starting. The upasanas and the karma rituals, I'll leave. Pujya Swamiji, whatever he left, I'll also leave. I was little ambitious. I thought let me cover the whole Upanishad. Even though I'm interested, but still, and then too many upasanas will make you feel tired. So meditate upon this and that, and then it will not be beneficial for us. Why? Because the upasanas prescribed even in the Taittiriya Upanishad, what you have seen, are practical, are useful for people who have thorough knowledge of the Veda mantras, of the entire Veda. And we do not have any knowledge of the Veda mantras. So we need not waste our time in trying to understand something which we will not benefit a lot, much from. So we'll move straight away to the actual Brahmavidya portions which Pujya Swamiji discussed. Okay. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.